You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey, it's Chris Spangle, the host of We Are Libertarians, and I'm here to tell you about our advertiser for this month, and it is the Jason Stapleton Program. Jason is a good friend of our show and has been the only guy that we've let buy advertising on our program. You know that we're not really big on paid advertisements, but we believe in what Jason does on a daily basis. He does what we do. He examines current events from a libertarian perspective, and he does it 5 days a week. Go check out Jason's podcast at iTunes. Check out his YouTube channel. It is amazing. His video setup is just so beautiful and professional. Jason is just professional. You know, he's everything that we're not. So visit jasonstapleton.com. You won't be disappointed. It's a highly engaging program, and he's a great guy. And we at We Are Libertarians love Jason, and we want you to love him too. So please go to jasonstapleton.com and check out his program. Download his podcast, check out his YouTube, and visit jasonstapleton.com.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com.
It's Chris Spangle, host of We Are Libertarians, and I want to tell you about our friends at Lions of Liberty. It is a podcast very much like ours. It is a group of guys who are motivated to entertain you and inform you at the same time. They have a show that is released 3 times per week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Friday is Felony Friday. It's a special show about the broken criminal justice system. You can find Lions of Liberty on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and on lionsofliberty.com. Seriously, these guys are great. If you love our show, you're going to love Lions of Liberty. Very similar to what we do. They have conversation about current events. They interview people that are very interesting. While their show is very similar to like ours, they have a lot of different opinions than we do. So I think if you love We Are Libertarians, then you are going to love Lions of Liberty. So get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and at lionsofliberty.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network, so please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon. You can find a bunch of our different podcasts at wearelibertarians.com, and don't forget to send us questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians. Greg Lenz, my faithful co-host,
He's dead.
Greg died. And he's actually outside making a phone call. And we just couldn't wait anymore. I have Brett Bittner here.
I'm too important to wait.
And when you hear Brett Bittner, you think, I've got to get him on the podcast ASAP. I've got to talk to him immediately. I'm just kidding. Never Bittner. This Never Bittner thing has really taken off.
It's awesome. You know, I was in Ohio last weekend.
Yeah.
Speaking.
Right.
And actually, when I was being introduced, had somebody yell from the crowd, Never Bittner! It was awesome. So thank you, Scott Pettigrew, for that.
So I was at the state fair today. I went to the state fair. I wish Greg were here to hear this because this is funny. A guy named Tony Snow, a Facebook friend of ours, came up. I think he's a flaming Democrat. And he goes, hey, man, how are you doing? I love all the memes and stuff, because that's usually what I get. Love all the memes, all the stuff that I don't do anything. I'm that's what I'm known for, is something I've never created. Yep. In my life. Not my podcast, not my work at my highly successful job.
Nope.
Successful.
Yeah, well, watch out.
Nothing. Memes.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine. Memes of
hey,
life.
Try being a former elected official and all you're known for is the memes that you're in.
Right. And so I'm at the state fair. This guy walks up. Love the memes. My coworker Josh Arnold was riding the carousel around for a bit. Don't ask. And the guy goes, ha ha, Never Bittner! Because he thought it was you, because you guys look similar.
Awesome.
Oh, it was so funny.
I love that it's being misapplied.
I know, to people that aren't even Brett Bittner.
Hey, you know, for Never Bittner fans out there, okay, they should know tchip.com/neverbittner2, the second coming of Never Bittner. It's a navy blue American Apparel shirt this time. I didn't want to get my first edition people. I didn't want to make them feel like they had anything else happening. Instead, you know, we weren't superseding them with the new version of the shirt. The red one is going to be the first edition, and the people that have that one, like Nick Sarwark and a lot of other people who actually featured it in a Facebook Live video recently.
So basically you're saying you created your own Brett Bittner VIP club.
Yeah, I did. I did. And everybody who has a red Never Bittner shirt, my sister has one, I found out.
Uh-huh.
Because I was trying to push the second version onto my mom and sister. Found out that my sister has the red Never Bittner shirt.
Nice.
And so she's not buying the navy blue American Apparel one, but you should at tchip.com/neverbittner2.
So at the state fair today, somebody walks up, a Facebook fan, and goes, "Hey, love the memes." And then Josh Arnold, my coworker, went around in the carousel, and the guy goes, "Ha ha, Never Bittner," because he thought it was Brett. We're just talking about how this Never Bittner has really taken off, and then he started plugging himself.
Of course.
Are you making money on? Is all the money going to you?
No, actually, at least $5 from each shirt. I'm not sure what the margin is between what's paid and what I pay for the shirts, but
right.
At least $5 of each shirt that I'm selling for the Never Bittner 2.0 shirt will go to Rex Bell for Governor.
All right, which is a worthy cause, which is why we'll allow you to mention it. Not going to We Are Libertarians this time, but whatever. So,
hey, I understand there's a live show on Monday that I'm apparently the only one in the world that knows about.
It's not this Monday. It's the last Monday of the month.
Isn't it the 25th, the last Monday of the month?
No, it's in 2 weeks.
Okay.
There is a live show.
If you say so.
Well, let me see here.
I'm unaware of this.
There is a live show, yeah.
There's a live show.
The last Monday, it's the 29th.
Well, by
the
God.
29th. The 29th. Okay, I had the dates wrong. But
of August?
Listen, just because you can't get yourself together, I'm not taking the heat on this one. No, I have not finalized it with Morty's. We're dragging our slow little feet.
I understand it's not on the calendar. According
yes.
to the Wall Superfan.
Right.
They're balking at our writer?
No, they said yes. Well, when I demand my own Christy Avery at every show, then it's hard to get Christy these days. She's in demand, so the club is having trouble getting a hold of her. She's at Fump Fest, which is a Dr. Demento fan fun fest, and we are actually sponsors. I don't know if you knew this.
No idea.
Yeah, Chris.
All right.
Christy goes, "Hey, do you want to sponsor this?" I was like, "I don't want to pay money." She goes, "I'll pay for it." I go, "What? Cool, man." Funk nice. Fest it is.
All right. By God. America.
Yeah. So are you free on the 29th?
Sure. Of August?
Yeah.
Like August 29th?
Yeah.
So we're like...
Like 2 weeks
like
from
less
Monday.
Less than 2 weeks.
Like yeah. 11 days from
like
now.
Like 11 days from right now?
Well, we'll get it together.
We were supposed to be taking August off.
No. We took July off.
Oh.
Okay. I'll be there.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it, and I haven't had a chance to talk to the club about it. And I'm just like, and then Christy was like, "Are you doing the live show?" I was like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, I mentioned the live show when it was on Facebook today.
Right.
I was like, "Well, we're recording two things tonight, and then we have the live show coming up." And I thought it was this coming Monday.
No. Yeah, that'd be insane.
Yeah, that would be.
I was like, I really need to get this together.
Well, I'm glad
if
that
you
I could prompt
the
that.
Last time about turnout. I
don't have given up.
Giving up hope.
Listen, turnout's
been strong. I can't, you know.
I'm building anticipation. It's like a rave.
Okay, you it's a flash mob live show podcast.
Excellent. With no promotion,
none.
I have a new.
Hell, Morty's may not be open. We might just have to do this thing in like 95 degree heat in Indiana August 9th.
I am pretty sure I can get us into the Chick-fil-A next door.
Oh,
well, we might have to do it in the ball pit, but I can get us in.
Oh,
okay.
I've done a podcast from ball pit before.
I bet you have.
Listen, I'm on a new life motto, Greg. Listeners of this program over the last 4 years have seen many seasons of Chris Spangle. There's been many, many different epics. My new epic, E-P-O-C-H, is the just not giving a darn. We got a letter from a listener, and he goes, "Listen, man, I love the show. But you got to like put a tag if you're going to Aunt Donna an episode or something." Because like I was listening at work and you Aunt Donna it out because I was listening to the Aunt Donna episode. Man, you need to like warn a brother. So I'm going to try and not curse as much. But yeah, I'm just at a fit. The current mood is, listen, if you all don't want to come to We Are Libertarians Live, then that's your fault. We're awesome. So
winning. I'm by winning. I win here. I win so, there.
You don't want to show up and get entertained? Fine.
Do something else with your Monday night.
I don't care.
Go to book club.
Go right to hell, you status scum.
Yeah.
You'll be first. Everybody who doesn't show up on the 29th, which Greg and I have agreed are doing.
Fantastic.
We're going to throw you right out of a helicopter.
That's right. Pinochet. Free helicopter rides. Forcibly removed Democrats and communists.
All right. Can we talk about that just briefly? Like, what is it? So this is a thing that James Neese started it. It seemed like, and then all of a sudden,
Auguste Pinochet started it in Chile.
And then everybody's throwing things out of helicopters, mostly Democrats
and communists, all right, so to speak.
So what is this?
So that's Chile implemented some very conservative economic reforms, and there was a strong opposition.
Right.
And so he decided that rather than trying to compromise with those who opposed him and his reforms, he decided a different route.
Throwing them out of helicopters.
He threw them out of helicopters.
Okay. And
forcibly removed, so right. to speak, Hans Hermann Hoppe.
And so Hans Hermann Hoppe,
HHS removal services.
Hans is a libertarian thinker of probably the Mises school, right?
I think so. Yeah.
he decided to endorse this route, or what was this?
No, he got in trouble at UNLV because one of his books said that he's not a Democrat. He doesn't believe democracy is the best form for mm-hmm. libertarianism. He believes in monarchy or elite top down centrally planned mandatory freedom. And in order to create such a society, there tends to be an obvious need to remove those who oppose you.
Forcibly remove them,
so to speak.
So it's dictatorial libertarianism.
Pretty much.
So
and then it turned into Pinochet and helicopters, and anyone that disagrees with me gets a free helicopter ride.
So he, this libertarian thinker was advocating throwing people out of a helicopter for disagreeing.
Trust me, the irony is not lost. he never advocated for throwing them out of helicopters. It just seemed like a natural pairing. Physical removal. Helicopter rides.
Okay. Bring the two together.
In fact, asked Rex Bell about it last night in chat. And Jeremiah Worrell says, how high?
I don't know that Rex endorses helicopter rides. Maybe.
You know, he specifically said he did not at 500 feet even.
We don't know about higher or lower, but all right. Well, that's interesting.
Let's be honest. Who doesn't want a free helicopter ride?
I'd love a helicopter ride.
I know. So. And you don't have anything to worry about. You're going to be fine. It's for the Democrats and the communists that need to be physically removed, so to speak.
That's why I'm guessing the so to speak was in his broken
term. That's his exact quote in the book is... Democrats and communists may need to be physically removed, .. so to speak.
Anytime a German says, hey, physical now, removal. Physical removal, I get nervous.
And it turned into the greatest Facebook page on the entire internet. I mean, the memes are so epic. It's beyond comprehension. I feel so, I'm so upset when people like aren't totally libertarian nerded out,
right,
and don't understand how funny these memes are, because it's like the idiot's guide to forcible removal with his face on it.
Or like
pushing a girl out of a car because she says she doesn't think taxation is theft.
It's what HHS
HHH removal services.
Okay. I found an Instagram that I love, Bad Joke Ben. Oh my God. Every one of those memes is a home run. I wanted to share every single one of them.
The highest level of human nature you can aspire to is to be an Instagram meme page.
Oh, yeah. I follow like 4,000 people. 2,000 of those are black Instagram pages.
Oh, I know. You were obsessed with black Twitter and black Instagram forever.
I still am. That's when I get a free moment. I don't talk to human beings.
When you saw the one about girls being thirsty and it was that girl underneath the goat. And then you recreated it underneath a ketchup condiment machine and started sending it in chat, and you were in your all neon green with your mid-calf white socks and your white pedo shoes.
So it's
slaying it is what you were. Slaying it.
It's a young lady who is underneath the fountain machine of
a Fanta
machine, and she's, you know, down trying to press the Sprite button and
drink.
Get the drink into her mouth. And it just says, it doesn't say anything. It's just that photo.
It's thirsty AF.
No, I think it just says, I don't think it says anything. And my boss at the time walked in and he goes, "What is that? That doesn't seem appropriate for your work computer." I go, "It's just a girl who's thirsty." Yeah. he didn't get it, but I giggled to myself.
No, I'll never forget. You posted that meme in chat, and you were down the rabbit hole. You were like on Reddit r/black Instagram, r/black Twitter, /Facebook. And you were sending all these culturally appropriated memes that I found highly offensive.
Listen, I'm down with black culture. My Instagram has not had an unblackening. It is quite the opposite.
That's probably the most racist thing I've ever heard. An unblackening.
Listen, I watched a documentary about Martin Luther King last night while looking at black Instagram memes. I'm very, very down.
Then I had a dream.
With the struggle. Never mind. I think that...
black culture is delightful.
If the best thing you can do for yourself is black Instagram, because you learn so many things about your fellow Americans that you might not have known.
Building bridges to other cultures.
I follow 5,300 Instagram accounts, so apparently it's the 60% black Instagram. So let's just take a look at Bad Joke Ben. That's a good one.
Are you really reading through these? We're really right
going
now on
through
air.
Your Instagram this feed. Great radio. Podcast.
Well, fantastic. I just think people need to know where to start. UNGP, Young Poppy, he's a good one. The Best No Chill Zone, that's a good one. Savage Comedy. Listen, Arthur Savage Arthur, the official page for Arthur memes. That
Arthur memes are, oh my.
That is lit, fam.
Yeah.
It is great. Ratchet Hood videos. Yeah. I love Ratchet Hood videos.
Yeah, I do love that one too.
Street vines. Hood clips is very good. Oh my, I can't say that one. That one says
NWA.
Never mind.
Harry,
Mr. Thirst Trap. That's a good one. Yeah, Mr. Trap Lord. That's Jeremiah Morrill's sister. She's not.
Is she down for the struggle?
She's not a black Instagram.
Oh, I heard you were rather. Dare I say grabby?
No, I was appropriate. I was appropriate.
Appropriate. I was there.
I wouldn't have called it appropriate. Mike Pence, not black Instagram. I know I was appropriate. There was a Facebook video where...
Taken by me, most likely.
Yeah.
Dare I say rapey?
No. No, that's like I've known her since she was 14. So I don't.
Oh, that certainly makes it better.
Yeah. So it's like I look at her like a little sister. Like when she was 18, I look at her and go, "So you driving yet?" She's like, "I'm 18, you old man." She's too old for me, Greg.
I know.
She's 23.
Right.
So no, I she hit me in the back of the head with a ball really hard and damn near gave me a concussion. So retribution had to be swift and difficult. So I went to push her in the pool. I stole her phone first and launched a live Facebook video stream, interviewed everyone, mostly in the bathroom. And then she found out, she chased me, and then I went to, I handed the phone off to her brother, and then went to throw her in the pool for her Facebook friends, and lo and behold, her brother, that asshole Jeremiah, Lion Jeremiah, pushed me in the pool with her, which I was very surprised.
So graceful, though.
But once I landed...
Like Swan Lake, really.
When I landed
Seal
in the...
Lake. Yeah, Seal Lake.
When I landed in the pool, Brett will vouch for me. I am graceful. I'm a man of 280 pounds, but in the water, I'm like a fish.
A manatee, even.
No, I'm...
They're very graceful.
No, I'm a seal. I'm just like doing barrel rolls. I'm quite amazing in the pool.
You're more a synchronized swimmer than Phelps.
At one point, I went after Snyder. You know Snyder.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Snyder invited himself to the party.
Oh, God.
Our friend Aaron Ewert, he invited himself to Jeremiah's driveway to vacation for the weekend. He pulled up in his RV in vacation. And, like, the funny thing is Jeremiah and Chat, we were, like, planning this weekend, and apparently Greg, it, like, flashed by him, but he didn't think much of it, like, and we planned the weekend around Aaron Ewert, and then Greg was like, I didn't know.
I had two friends in town from Munich, Germany for specifically the weekend, like, that isn't gonna work. And,
you could have brought some Germans.
No, not when it was in Huntington.
I'm just wondering what you were doing in Huntington with two Germans.
What were we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth Reich.
That was very explicit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was camping.
It's like it's like Sharknado 4. The first three shouldn't have happened. Why would the fourth? Yeah, so how was camping in
was there much Arbeit?
I always get a hotel cuz I don't camp, but
yeah, I make money. Why would I want to go to pretend to be poor?
But no, it's like a private pond and they fly in sand from the Gulf. And so it's pretty cool. It's legit. It's a golf outing before. And then we hang out and drink beers and tell old war stories. And
my Faja, died in the camps. My Faja died in a concentration camps. You finish the joke if you know it. If you don't, then you're a good soul. Unlike us.
Then you don't need Black Instagram.
You don't, no. Would you like me to read some Black Instagram posts?
No, we're good. We're good.
When yo dick so hard.
Oh, my God.
When you hitting it from behind raw. It is. It's really a treat.
We're going down the rabbit hole. What are we going to talk about, libertarianism?
Mr. Thirst Trap. Or Mr. Thought Trap. THOT. Which, Brett, stands for that hoe over there.
I'm aware
okay.
of what it means.
All right. I'm just making sure that you're up on your culture.
I am from Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. The Dirty South. Ciara made me a man.
Bet she did.
The video to O. Oh, my. All right. So, little Brett Bittner.
You guys are so hood.
The most hood.
My life is like a Luke Bryan video, and your life is like
I've never
Fast
heard
the
of her.
Furious One.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, I bet.
Joining us is Brett Bittner, the executive director. Is that what you are?
I don't know if you want to be identified at this point.
Yeah, I don't know about this one.
Well, we're gonna edit all that out for the advocates.
Okay, good.
So yeah,
no. Everyone needs Black culture.
There's two versions. There is the We Are Libertarians version where you get to learn about my Black Instagram fetish. I don't know. And then the Advocates for Self-Government version. So joining us is Brett Bittner, the executive director of the Advocates for Self-Government. See, that's where their version began. And he joins us to talk a little bit about the libertarian movement. And we're celebrating the launch of libertarianism.com. Now, libertarianism.com is a storied website. It's a history. It has a rich history.
Very rich.
Rich history. It was something before, and then I became the marketing director of the Advocates and made it great again. I built libertarianism.com into a great website that everyone loved. And then Brett Bittner became the executive director, and he ruined it.
It finally started winning again.
Right.
And that's what the advocates needed was for libertarianism.com to start winning again.
And if you want to see my version, it's at wearelibertarians.com. And you can go to the path to libertarianism and
all
see
all these flavors, and you choose salty.
All of them. And
but if you want to see the Bittner version, you can go to the
better version.
You can go to the libertarian. Explain the libertarianism.com
so
for the
libertarianism.com
people.
Is taking the world's smallest political quiz and then going to the next step. The world's smallest political quiz has been around for about 30 years, just as long as the Advocates for Self-Government. It's a great outreach tool. I've always felt that there was something missing, and that was always the next step. And that was what, in the almost 4,000 opportunities I've had to give the quiz, I kind of incorporated those conversations into what we have today, which is a predefined path based on your outcome of your political tendency, which is what the quiz measures. So you go to libertarianism.com, take the world's smallest political quiz, go ahead and get the score and learn more. You're going to go through a predetermined path based on your outcome, whether it's authoritarian, whether it's conservative, liberal, centrist, or even libertarian. The idea is that we are working to persuade people and convert people to be more libertarian.
So, we talked on the previous episode a little bit about what we believe libertarianism to be and what we believe it to be is what it is.
And if you don't like that, get the hell out.
Yeah, we have a helicopter for you. But there are people who might disagree with us. You see, the way that I view libertarianism is more like a Democrat system than a Republican system. Where Republicans, it's always kind of top-down power. Democrats have more of a coalition party, you know, and so there's many different belief systems within the Democratic Party, the socialists, the progressives, the, you know, the liberals, the Southern conservative Democrats. You have the group like you have advocacy groups like Move On or, you know, Latino rights groups or Black rights groups or whatever. And they all come together and work for a common cause. Libertarians need to be a little bit more like the Democrats and accept that there are ideological differences. We have a very hard time accepting.
Chris, there was that time in 1987 where you voted against my bylaws amendment. Right. And we can never be on the same side of an issue ever again.
Yeah, there's a little bit in the
seconded.
Yeah, we generally are highly intelligent people. We generally believe that we are right, and we are stubborn about it. And I think that might be just culture. That might be human nature. But we have to start accepting that we've got to be a little more ideologically open. There's many different types of libertarians. So, like Brett, if you had to identify the different libertarian groups, like kind of what would you say are some strains of libertarianism?
Well, you obviously have the political that are involved in the political process. They're working to elect candidates.
And that could be in the Libertarian Party, the Republican Party,
absolutely,
even the Democratic Party.
I'm looking at it just from libertarians and how what their outlet is. You have some that are philosophical think tank type folks. They're focused on research and providing facts, figures, and statistics. You have the entrepreneurs, the ones who are bringing about things like Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, PayPal. All those things are very entrepreneurial. They're working to realize a need. They see a need. They want to take care of it. They are looking to revolutionize the world through innovation. And then you have the educational libertarians, the ones who aren't really interested in politics per se. They aren't really philosophical in that they're research based and that kind of thing. They're just out there to spread the message. And there are plenty of people that fall into that camp as well. And I really do kind of see that's where we are in the different types of libertarians that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, Greg, you're newer to libertarianism than Brett and I, really the last 3 years or so. I mean, what are some of the different types of strains of libertarianism that you see?
Well, I naturally will lean more towards like the philosophical differences that exist within the party, like the people who would be more of the left libertarian leaning, someone who would identify as like a mutualist. Then you have the anarcho-capitalists. Then you have the really constitutional Republicans. And then you have people who sort of don't have a clearly defined libertarian political philosophy, but they are libertarian.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the voluntarist strain is more the black and yellow strain. I haven't seen a whole lot of people who I would necessarily classify as like political operatives. That's one thing. Like, you guys are pretty rare in that you are the only very few of the political operatives I've met within the party.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a symptom of they don't want to create political change and it's just a sample, you know, bias, or if it's something where it's harder to do so because of the resource constraint, and then maybe not coming from a major party and bringing those skill sets into the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, it's just a matter of incentive. It's hard to say to somebody, hey, leave your sphere of influence and come here and make half of what you made.
But we have memes.
Right.
The best memes.
So, yeah, it is difficult, but I do think that that is starting to somewhat change. I do think that there is, if you look at the Gary Johnson campaign from this year versus 4 years ago, you see more political expertise working on this campaign than 4 years ago.
Even outside the Johnson campaign, I mean, you saw it with Austin Peterson.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the way that they were operating.
They actually went to conventions and...
You saw PACs that formed
to
support one candidate or another. I mean, you're seeing a lot more political activity within the libertarian movement as people learn about the things that the D's and the R's have been doing for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah. So when you come into the libertarian, like any kind of community has their own insiders and people who have influence. And I think once you come into the libertarian movement, there are definitely your influential groups, your influential educational institutions, media outlets. At the top of that is We Are Libertarians. Obviously, it is the most influential. It is the greatest.
The higher... Or what is our group newsroom called? I forget.
The group of higher education, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Great job, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
Way to be on top of it.
And we even stole it from Limbaugh. That's the sad part.
Yeah. Well, I steal a lot. I can't remember everything that I steal.
The Limbaugh Institute for Higher Conservative Studies.
It's too long for Facebook to know.
We Are Libertarians Institute for Higher Educational Studies or something along those lines.
We Are Libertarians Educational Institute of Higher Liberty Learning. That's our Facebook group.
Wow.
Regardless.
But you have the advocates
we totally libertarianed it up and made it complicated and way too difficult.
Wall of text. Way to go.
Walled it up.
You've got the advocates for self-government, which is sort of your... So these are, to me, some of the essential groups that people should check out. Listen, I don't want to put you in the libertarian echo chamber too much because I do think that we have too much of an echo chamber. Just like if you're a conservative, you read Town Hall and Breitbart and Drudge. And if you're liberal, you read Think Progress and Daily Kos and Rachel Maddow. And you never really branch out. But I think if you're new to the Libertarian Party and you want to get some information, then these
or
are...
Or even just the libertarian movement. Not just the party.
Yeah, I meant to say movement, because I don't think that it's just a Libertarian Party thing. It's you can be Libertarian and be Republican. You can be Libertarian and be Democrat. You can be independent.
Completely unaffiliated.
Not
vote, even.
Even that. You know, and I look at it and I go, Gary Johnson is a Libertarian, but so is somebody like an Adam Kokesh, which is a totally Libertarian insider name. But Adam Kokesh is as much of a libertarian as Gary Johnson is.
Agreed.
You know, where Gary Johnson...
I don't believe that if Adam Kokesh were asked that question, he would necessarily agree with that.
No, he wouldn't, but he'd be wrong.
He would be wrong.
And Adam Kokesh is somebody who is an anarcho-capitalist, a voluntarist, somebody who doesn't believe in a state at all, where Gary Johnson is somebody who says, I want to move us towards that destination by taking us in a direction... talking about issues and saying, here's where the United States government is, and here's what I can do in this moment to move us more towards liberty, which is a totally different strategy than Adam Kokesh, who says, I'm going to paint the picture of what liberty looks like if we built it today, which are two different strategies. And you don't have to say one is better than the other, one is worse than the other, although some people do, and I find that disagreeable.
Well, it's the light switch versus the dimmer.
Right. So
yes, it is, because Adam Kokesh talks to a potential voter and they say they want tax reform. And he says, come to my armed march on Washington. Gary Johnson says, well, here's the tax plan. Here's the plan I have to get elected. And this is how this is the coalition I've built.
Right.
Come join us and let's see how we do this. You know, it's
a little bit different.
Yeah. Adam Kokesh is a particular brand of vodka and it is very strong.
Yeah. So and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're a podcast person, we've got some options for you. You can listen to our friend Roger Paxton of the Lava Flow podcast. And Roger is much more, quote-unquote, down the rabbit hole. You know, Phil, our job is to examine current events. And we have our point of view, which is a little more rational.
I don't know about rational, but it's a little bit more politically palatable for the non
right
libertarian informed.
Right. And Roger is on the extreme of that, on the extreme of the libertarian end. And in between, you've got the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. You've got Lions of Liberty. You've got Tom Woods. You've got Jason Stapleton. You can listen to these shows, and you can get an idea of what libertarianism is from some of those podcasts. Are there other podcasts that you guys like?
I enjoy Free Talk Live every once in a while.
Is this a podcast?
This is a lifestyle.
I just thought you wanted me to come over here and give opinions and get them on recordings like an archive for when I'm dying.
They'll be playing in the background at your funeral.
This is the only podcast.
No, I listen to Tom Woods. I tell you, I don't listen too often to anything that's very anarchist or voluntarist, and maybe that's a flaw of mine. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I understand their perspective and what their response will be to the given crisis or event of the day, right. And so that maybe that is a problem I have, but like I like Tom Woods. He gives an interesting perspective, and he knows a lot about history, and he's a really sharp individual. But outside of that, I don't know. I listen to Lions of Liberty. I like them, mm-hmm. although the Gary bashing is getting old by about every libertarian in the Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're all good guys.
So yeah, check those out. Ringing endorsements from Greg Lenz.
There's a Pinochet podcast.
And one day I'm sure Brett Bittner will have his own podcast, and then no other podcast will see. Well, they all.
I've already had one.
Yeah, have you?
It's come and gone.
Oh,
Jason Pye and I used to have one at UnitedLiberty.org, 2009-2010.
Nice guy, Jason Pye. Like Jason Pye.
Yeah.
So then there's the think tanks. There, I think, are the big three, or you can disagree with me, and there's Reason Magazine, which isn't really a think tank. So let's stick to think tanks. But there's Mises, the Mises Institute, mm-hmm. Mises.org, Mises.
When you said Misesians earlier, Misesians, I thought, yeah. What the hell is this guy talking about? And then I realized that's how OG you are. Like, yeah. You are a true, you're establishment as it gets, really.
I try not to.
I hate to break it to you, but you really are establishment.
I try not to flash that too much.
The Misesians, and
what you didn't see is under his shirt, he has the big M medallion.
Oh my God. Wear. The Cloak and Dagger Society.
I think that Mises has a lot of good stuff. Cato Institute obviously is a standard as well. And then I think FEE.org is a great think tank that gives you a lot of stuff.
Also like the things like Brookings Institute, and even if it's Council on Foreign Relations or National Interest or any of those, I mean, they all have really great content. You don't have to believe that, you know, intervention is the right way to go about it. But if you want really to be informed, that's where you have to go.
Yeah, you just have to be aware that is not necessarily the libertarian point of view, but no. I think it's vitally important for a person to listen to the opposite and be able to argue your opponent's point of view.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it's just getting the facts, like Jihadology is a great podcast. Like, mm-hmm. I listen to that one all the time, and I don't necessarily believe, I would not subscribe to their belief systems, but if you're going to get information, you might as well get it from the source.
Yeah, so other think tanks that you think the big three, I think, are... my mind, Fee, I think FFF, Future Freedom Foundation, is great. FFF.org, I believe.
Hoover Institute
does a pretty good job as well.
They have a good podcast with Richard Epstein called The Libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
The Liberty Fund has a couple great websites. The Online Library of Liberty, I think that's really cool. Libertarianism.org is another great kind of... it gives you a lot of different... older archive stuff that will give you a look back at some things. And libertarianism.org also has some podcasts that I think are really interesting. And
it's a product of Cato.
Institute for Humane Studies.
Definitely Cato.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go with your... Yeah. Yep, you're right.
I do like... I'm glad that you brought up Institute for Humane Studies. I'm a big fan of IHS, and especially their Learn Liberty series.
Their
videos are absolutely amazing.
Learnliberty.org. Yeah, it's great.
In the way that they take the issues essentially the issues du jour, and they apply a libertarian look at what's going on, and they really do explain things in a way that I think is very relatable. It's very, it's I hate to say simple, but it doesn't get too much in the intellectual weeds, and it's very relatable.
I also like the Heartland Institute. I think they do a great job, have a lot of interesting books, so check out the Heartland Institute. In terms of libertarian news, there aren't a ton of websites out there, but Reason is kind of top dog. Reason Magazine is a great news outlet and gives a lot of great opinions.
The Intercept.
Yeah, with Glenn Greenwald's
friggin' fantastic. And Zero Hedge is another one.
Yeah. Is Ben Swan still...
He is. He's on CBS 46
but
in Atlanta.
But his site's down, right?
I'm not sure what's going on there. But he is back on the air. He's in Atlanta now.
Good.
On their CBS affiliate.
Cool.
Wow. I leave and he fills the void.
I'd say Ben's a hell of a reporter, you know.
I would say one of my favorites that I don't think a lot of people know about, it's produced by Thomas Napster. It's called Rational Review News Digest. And every morning you get an email from these guys with news and opinion that is just really awesome. And it's really your libertarian prep service. I mean, it's so great. And it's free. And
about 40 links every morning.
40 links every morning.
Things that are happening.
It's great stuff. Rational Review News Digest. So I really like those guys.
I'm quite partial to the We Are Libertarians daily news roundup.
I am as well, which you can get at wearelibertarians.com. I'm looking, trying refreshing my memory by looking at wearelibertarians.com. This is such a beautiful site. It's so good. I think antiwar.com is also a great site. I love antiwar.com. They're always giving you a bunch of interesting news that you don't hear anywhere else. I mean, and obviously it's about foreign policy. That's kind of the Beacon. We didn't mention the Beacon.
What's going on with that?
The Independent Institute.
Is it just done?
I don't think so.
Like, I just feel like their content has went from, like, you know, really premium content to, man, I don't know what's going on with that website.
Yeah. And then there is Stossel. John Stossel and Kennedy, both on Fox Business, the Fox Business Network, two libertarian folks. There's another great podcast that we failed to mention called The Fifth Column with Matt Welch, and I can't think of the other guy's name. I'm sorry. And it's a great libertarian podcast. So check those out. All very informative stuff. And I will give a plug for Democracy Now! Not libertarian, very progressive, but Democracy Now! I think does they intersect with libertarianism a lot. So I think that's worth a listen every day. So I think those are some of the basic outlets that if you're going to get some information from a libertarian point of view.
You know, while we're talking about it, may as well throw Radley Balko, his column.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Washington Post.
The Washington Post, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
He is God.
Especially when it comes to justice issues.
Yeah. I mean, he is so... personal issues aside, like, the guy is just fantastic as a reporter.
Yeah, so we left out a bunch, and if you go to the We Are Libertarians Facebook page, we've got a news reader, we've got a Liberty podcast player, and we've got links to everything on our links up at the top there. So check that out. We're getting you as prepared as possible for the coming happening. So there's different strains. We talked about those. There's different outlets for you to get your news. There's different thoughts on how to put libertarianism into action. So let's examine some of the ways that people spread the message of liberty and put libertarianism into action. Brett, what are some of the ways that you can think of?
Well, one of the things that I think people first think of when they're looking at libertarian activism is they're thinking that they're going to be waving signs on a street corner somewhere. And, you know, there are times when that's effective, and that's a great activity. It does draw attention.
It's better than nothing.
It is absolutely better than nothing. It's certainly better than liking things on Facebook or retweeting things. Yeah. It's more active than what I like to call slacktivism, where all you're doing
cornered.
Is clicking and typing
we
comments and starting internet fights. That is certainly one way to be active. Personally, for me, I'm looking at living a libertarian life. I want to be the shining example of what a what it means to be a libertarian.
And by forcing yourself on this podcast.
Absolutely.
As heard on a previous episode.
The director of special programs.
Who
has given Wall some of its best episodes.
According to Brett Bittner, all the best episodes.
Brett Bittner gives Brett Bittner 5 stars on Amazon.com. Very pleased with service.
But, you know, if you live a very libertarian life, you let people live as they want to. You're walking the walk. You're respecting others. You're living your life in the way that you want to. And at the end of the day, you're going to be somebody who really is that example. You're going to be the person who people look to when they say, oh, well, what does it mean to be a libertarian? Well, you're living your life in the way that you want to live it, and you're treating people the way that you want to be treated. And, you know, we talked about it on an earlier episode about the golden rule. And if you're living that, that's libertarianism in action. And I personally think that's one of the most libertarian things that you can do, is to be that example.
Right.
You're not forcing it on anybody. You're just being that example for people to look at and to help educate what it means to be a libertarian. In fact, when I was speaking in Ohio last weekend, that was the subject of my talk. We were talking about moving libertarians forward. And, you know, for me, it's all about walking the walk, not outsourcing your responsibility to somebody else and doing the things that, you know, you want to do, and supporting those who are doing things that they want to do, and, you know, treating people the way that you want to be treated. To me, that's the most important level of activism. You have people that are out there that are, you know, they're fighting, they're living the voluntarist life. They are shining examples of that particular, you know, the anarchy of a farmer's market or something like that. They're not voting. You know, personally, I believe that voting is violence. But I do it in self-defense, because I know what the authoritarians are going to put up there. And that's why I participate in the political process, because I don't want to be political. I want to get us to the point where that's not something that I have to do. I would much rather watch college football on Saturdays in the fall, or watch 40 cars go around and turning left 500 times on a Sunday.
I always forget you're a NASCAR guy.
And so
he's no Harry.
Well, who is?
That's a pretty good point.
But, you know, I want to make my life the things that I enjoy. And so that's my role. And as far as politics goes, is I'm defending myself from what I know the authoritarians are up to.
Yeah. So then for you, it's fundamentally a personal lifestyle decision is the best way to spread libertarianism.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because it's passive. You don't have to plan an outreach event. Not saying that you shouldn't have outreach events, active libertarian. I like to call it active libertarian income. Mm-hmm. Where you're going out to the state fair or a gun show or Pride or a book fair, and you actually set up something like an Operation Politically Homeless booth, which you can get at theadvocates.org/OPH, where you're actually going out there and you're essentially preaching the good of libertarianism. You're interacting with people, you're introducing them to the idea, but that takes a lot of work. It's scheduling, it's actual work, it's making sure that you have materials.
Eye contact.
You actually have to have conversations with people. You know, if you just happen
to... This isn't a like.
If you happen to live the life that you're discussing, then that's always happening and you don't have to think about it. And it's the very passive libertarian income.
Yeah.
Right.
So to me, that's again,
the core and the best way to create
for me
it.
Is, yeah, I can do all these great things outreach wise, but I can still bring people in when I don't have that switch turned on.
Yeah.
Greg, what are some ways that you have noticed libertarians
noticed?
How have you noticed them? I mean,
what are my perceptions of them?
No, like, what do you see them doing to spread? Like, to me, to give an overarching view, I think there's running political campaigns, as you see in the LP there, or Rand Paul in the
Liberty Caucus.
Yeah, in the Republican Liberty Caucus. There's,
I can almost just taste the disdain when you say it.
No,
like that.
I like Ron. I like Ron Paul. I mean, and Rand Paul. I like him too. There's, you know, there is the educational aspect, which you get with Cato, which also outputs, you know, the more of the media side with Reason and what we do here. You have people who they're social entrepreneurs, like you talked mm-hmm. about. There are people. You know, I was reading an article today. Wired came out today and endorsed Hillary Clinton, but they talked about the libertarian roots of Wired magazine in Silicon Valley.
Right.
You know, people see technology as a form of libertarianism in a way.
Sure.
Because it frees us.
Well, you know,
from
you could even
state.
Take Abdul's idea of having the technocrats and replace that, and just have a computer make all the decisions for us.
Right.
And so then we wouldn't have the human element to screw it up.
I swear to God, like, you know, I'm not obviously a fan of a universal income all the time, but, you know, if you remove all the welfare agencies and reduce government down to where it's essentially an arbiter of justice and an enforcement agency for that justice, and then you just offer everyone a universal basic income to eliminate poverty, where you deduct out housing, food, and healthcare, and travel, or, I mean, transportation, then... You know, you could do that technocratically. You could do that with the Treasury through a series of debits and credits onto a credit card and replace every agency virtually completely, and you'd solve the budget deficit in no time, and you'd eliminate poverty completely. And so, like, you know, that's what these disruptive effects, the disruptive network effects have done. Like, public transportation is an issue of price. People can't afford it. All of a sudden, you create services like Lyft that don't have regulations and don't have licensing fees and all these things. It drops the price to a point where everyone can participate or even turn it into a career.
Well, and
or
you
a job.
Take a look, you know, Uber isn't looking to be the market leader in ride sharing. They are looking to replace owning a car.
Exactly.
Right. With their costs.
Which would be awesome because then you don't have the cost of, you know, maintenance and right. buying, you know, depreciation, all the different issues, storing it. And
I don't know if you saw the news today. They're employing driverless cars in Pittsburgh.
They are. I mean, that's the future. And it'll be wonderful.
It's our path to flying
yeah,
cars, man.
And all we've got to stop us... I want a DeLorean that flies. If I live to see a day where a DeLorean flies, I'm good to go. That'll be.
I got
to
have that stainless steel...
Me too.
1983 DeLorean, man.
God. But no, like...
I'll even put a fake flux capacitor in it. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah, I will. As far as libertarians go, though, like for the best way of spreading it, I mean, it's about finding your role. Like Brett lives it every day. Brett works for an organization. He goes to work every day, and it's about how to get more liberty down their throats.
You know, not exactly,
no,
but yeah,
it's about creating yeah. libertarians. And like yeah. that, the hard part is exposure. But then creating them out of that exposure is consistently showing up. And so it's tough because you're a brand ambassador. Everyone's a brand ambassador. Everyone is a evangelist. Everyone mm-hmm. is a enthusiast. And you wear a lot of different hats, and because it's a smaller group and a growing group, everyone has to wear those hats.
Sure.
But in the media, it's, you know, it's people like, you know, it's Gary, it's Weld, it's all these guys, and Nick Gillespie. They're the brand ambassadors, and their job is to generate attention from the biggest groups.
Right.
You bring it down, and then it's the educational people. Then it's time to slowly process them down the funnel. But yeah. in order to create the movement, the most important people are the people in your social circle.
Yeah.
Then where you're the person identified as someone, hey, this person has a contagious enthusiasm and is fun and I respect their opinion and I like being around them. This is the kind of move. I mean, that's how Barack Obama did it in 2008.
Yeah.
He created a fun, enthusiastic, contagious environment that led into just a tidal wave of young people and people that coalesced around very few core issues. And that's what libertarianism has to do, especially the party and then the movement in general.
So if you were to give tips on being the libertarian ambassador, we'll save me for last on this. Like, what are some tips on outreach that you would... that you'd notice? Like, how would you... I'm running out of words, Brett. My words are running out.
Roads.
Yeah.
Roods.
Watch out now.
Brett, if we are the ambassadors to libertarianism on our Facebook pages, and that is ultimately the key part in spreading the libertarian message...
Wait, being on Facebook?
I'm saying that in my social circle, for instance, I'm the libertarian guy.
Right.
And so when people in work, they walk in the green room and they see me, they go, hey, it's all Gary Johnson, blah, blah, blah. You know, 4 years ago, people asked, who are you guys running? And now they're asking me about our candidate.
Sure.
You know, and so I take the time to, whether I agree with Johnson on stuff or not, or Weld, I take the time to learn their positions, and I see it not as an opportunity to talk about what I think is the best. I choose to give information to my friend.
Sure.
And that's how I see social media. Like, to me, arguing, you know, circle jerk stuff like Bill Weld isn't libertarian enough. He may not be, but I don't know that your public facing page is necessarily the best place to have that discussion. It's probably better in private groups sure. amongst libertarians, because that's going to be a more productive discussion. Because you're broadcasting when you're using your Facebook to people who are largely not libertarians. Mm-hmm. And so inside baseball doesn't work with those people.
Definitely doesn't.
So
doesn't work with us or anybody,
right. anybody really.
Yeah. But I think people are hungry for information. And sure. so if you're the libertarian guy and you're the one giving people information, yep. then, you know, I look at it and I go, I'm not going to start off that interaction with someone by saying, oh, you're interested in my candidate? Here's all the reasons that I hate him and you shouldn't vote for him. Now, if that guy's not your candidate, then you're absolved. You know what I mean? But don't, you know, be sensitive to the fact that this person wants information, and it is, as the libertarian guy or girl in their circle, give them information. Let them make up their own mind.
Sure.
Because they may not like, you may not like Gary Johnson, but they're probably not the rabid anti-statist that you are. They're probably a statist. And, you know, the people listening to this, you may go, I don't get why people don't like Gary Johnson. I love Gary Johnson. And then in 8 years, you're going to go, Gary Johnson wasn't libertarian enough. You know, we all start somewhere.
I will not bake the cake.
Right. You know, so to me, it starts with the first principle of outreach starts with trying to see beyond yourself and your own desires, needs, and opinions.
Well, I think the best way to do that, honestly, is to consider that the interaction you're having with somebody is the first interaction that they've ever had with a libertarian before. And because first impressions matter,
what a thought.
We are going to have an opportunity to paint libertarians for them for the remainder of their life. So if we are upbeat, if we are nice, if we are examples of libertarianism, then we're going to make a positive first impression. The other thing to remember when you are reaching out to others, especially those that are not libertarian, is that you have to build rapport with somebody before you can have any sort of influence to persuade or convert. And I actually wrote about this in my column for The Liberator. As soon as Greg gets home, I know that he's going to read every article that we have in there,
because
they just signed
up.
Well, she does have one in there. But it's talking about how you, a literal concrete example of how you can build rapport by listening to what people's issues are, listening to the outcomes that they desire, congratulating them on having a great idea, because you take a look at a lot of the things that we want are very similar to what conservatives, liberals, centrists, and authoritarians want. The outcomes are similar. We want a well-educated populace. We want peace. We want prosperity. We want harmony. We want freedom. Now, those words are subjective, and people have different interpretations of what they mean, but if you understand the outcome that somebody is trying to get to, you can congratulate them on having a fantastic idea, and you've listened to them, and you've registered that you've listened to them, and you've given them positive feedback, reinforcing that they have good ideas, then you can ask them the question that I think is one of the most important that we talked about on an earlier episode. You say, all right, that's a great idea. Now, how do you get there without using force? Because you can talk all you want about, you know, making kids go to school because it's going to educate them and yada, yada, yada. And you have compulsory education laws.
Despite all the evidence to the contrary.
But unless people are engaged and want it, they're not going to absorb it. So what you have to do is you have to make it attractive. You have to incentivize it. You have to point out the positives that are there.
You got to sell.
You do. You absolutely have to sell. And it's really easy for the government to say, well, this is the law and this is what you must comply with. But you're always going to have people that are going to reject that and resist that. If you can make it so that it's attractive to go to school, whether it's private school, homeschool, unschool, public school, whatever, people are going to want the education because they're going to want, they're going to see success in the people that have gone through whatever path they've chosen. Even if it's, you know, there are people that are going to be successful because they went to college. There are going to be people who are successful because they dropped out of college. There are going to be people who are never going to go the college route at all. They're going to be musicians or artists, or but they're still going to be successful because they've chosen a path for themselves. And when you try to force compliance, what you end up getting is a one-size-fits-all solution, and you put everybody in a box. But we're not all going to fit in a box. We're going to be balloons that are popped because of X, Y, or Z within the framework of that box. And you're going to see people who excel, and this is something that I'm looking at right now with my nieces and nephews as they're going to school. They excel in certain areas, but those areas don't necessarily line up with what the people in Washington, D.C., in their case, in Atlanta or in Decatur, have decided this is what's happening. This is what you must learn. Everybody must go to college. That kind of mindset really hurts the people who maybe aren't good at math, but they're an amazing artist. And so you kind of to get back around to where we started, I don't even remember where that was, but it was being the first libertarian that anybody's ever met.
Yeah,
building rapport.
The first impression.
Coming to outcomes and then challenging them with questions that show that you've actually listened, but they aren't necessarily a challenge in that you're trying to start an argument or a fight.
Yeah.
You're trying to learn more about their view. And then you ask them questions like, okay, well, that's great, but how do we do that without forcing people?
Yeah.
How do we do that in a way that works for Chris, for Greg, for Brett, for Cornelius, for Mittens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all going to have different things that fit for us.
Yeah.
And so we have to ask questions to see what fits.
You know, really, like, you know, libertarianism, in the age of mass customization, we're the only solution that offers it.
Yeah.
And we're the only solution that offers multiple possible philosophies to live, to coexist. In a libertarian world, in a voluntary society, you can have a group of socialists who voluntarily decide that they want to
socialize,
but you know that they want to pool all their resources together, and you know, for each according to their ability,
to each according to their need. God, what a crap line!
But in a libertarian society, that can occur.
Yeah,
in a socialist society, you couldn't have a libertarian individualism.
No,
because you're all part of the collective. You can have a very socially conservative society within a libertarian or a segment within a libertarian society because those people have all voluntarily decided that they want to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a libertine society within a voluntary association where people are doing literally whatever.
You can have
as
Caligula,
long as
the Amish.
You're exactly
whatever
right.
Whatever you need.
And it can all coexist. Because everything is voluntary. And to me, that's an important thing to point out. Without force, without compliance, without the monopoly on force that government has, people are able to live voluntarily. They're able to interact voluntarily. They're able to congregate with like people to live in a way that they've decided is best for them. And libertarianism and a voluntary society is literally the only way that all of those people can coexist, because all of those other philosophies and thought processes require force unless they're all voluntarily agreed to. And, you know, it's the whole idea of the social contract that because just you were born within these borders, which are imaginary lines drawn on a map, that this is the way that you must live. And libertarianism, voluntary society are things that all of that stuff can coexist. But we're not going to be able to exist within their philosophical bent.
No, diversity has no place in their, you know, political philosophies.
Sure. Greg, thoughts on being a good libertarian, messaging it?
You know, messaging it, be approachable. don't focus on what libertarianism is and what it prescribes and how, you know, how best it suits that person. It starts with finding out what that person cares about and what's most important to them. Once that happens, then turn it around on them. You know, I know I wrote 4 years ago that Ultimate Guide to Libertarian Sales Guide, and it really is. It's the spin selling model for, you know, how to get someone to arrive at the conclusion you want. So you have situational questions. Well, what's going on in this election? What's really bugging you? Then you have the the problem questions. What's causing you problems with this situation? Then you have the implication questions, which are, you know, if you could have that problem solved, how would that help you? And then you have the need payoff. So if you did have that problem solved, what would the benefits be to having that solved? You walk them through that sales process and you're going to arrive at the destination you want, because I do believe most people are inherently libertarian. I don't believe people like to use force, but you have to be approachable and you have to not spout what libertarianism is. Now, granted, for Brett, it's different because he gets paid to do that. So I'm not talking about Brett. I'm talking about, you know, me and, you know, anyone you engage with in your social network. Like, when you're a brand ambassador, you have a different role. When you are just a Libertarian Party member enthusiastic about your movement and you're trying to create new libertarians, your role is to be unassuming, talk to people, see what they care about, and then help them realize, you know, force isn't the way. And that will naturally sort of crack down their barriers. And
so we shouldn't force libertarianism onto people.
Well, so to speak.
So to speak. Now, we can always physically remove Democrats and communists. No, but yeah, that's the key. You know, the hardest thing about libertarianism is we're at a funny point. It's all right before us. So we're angsty, we're anxious, like there's this big movement, and we want to just go screaming from a mountaintop about how great it is. But it comes across, it can be a deterrent. It can be desperate, needy, and angsty. And we have to be careful that, you know, that we are the cool new thing, and we have to play that role. We have to let people come to us rather than going out and trying to force it down people's throats. Now, people are naturally seeking us out, but we have to, regardless of, you know, oh, yeah, I like Gary Johnson. Oh, well, what did you like about him? What was it, you know, what really struck a chord with you about what he said? How do you feel about these other issues? Is this what you're primarily going to vote upon?
So you're exit polling for people that are coming to you asking you about Gary Johnson.
Precisely. Never make it about you or what libertarianism is. Make it until they ask specific questions about that.
So where do we see libertarianism going?
I think it's happening. I mean, we're there. We're seeing exactly. I mean, we're on the precipice of the most libertarian moment we've ever had.
Yeah,
we're seeing that people are rejecting the old parties. They're rejecting what the old parties have created.
The people just, in the old parties.
That's just the political aspect of things. But you also are seeing freedoms that libertarians have been talking about for 50 years coming to fruition. You know,
it really is happening.
Legalizing marijuana, they thought was crazy in 1971. And we have two states that have legalized it recreationally, where we have 24 states
national
that have legalized
polling.
It for medical use. We have various decriminalization efforts happening across the country. It is a mainstream thing to be in favor of marijuana legalization. And you take a look at 45 years ago, it was a pipe dream. You also take a look at 45 years ago, who would have thought that two dudes could get married? Seriously. Right. I mean,
oh my
I
God.
Know I dreamed about it all of the time.
The meme just came into my mind. You mean a dink? You can go in a dink and it's a priest?
He's live beaming right now.
But in 1971, who would have thought that in 2015 we would have had the Obergefell decision, which... You know, they were just reeling from Loving versus Virginia, which did away with the anti-miscegenation laws. And now we're talking a completely different thing. Look at all of those issues have been driven by libertarians and have been championed by libertarians from the very beginning of the libertarian movement. We're also seeing that pop culture is embracing us. We never would have had a Ron Swanson 20 years ago.
No.
We never would have had the character that David Duchovny played on Californication.
Hell, V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta, the Lego movie, all of the anti-authoritarian things that we're seeing
Winter
in
Soldier.
Films. Captain America. A lot of the Marvel series is very anti-authoritarian.
Privatized world peace.
You do. You also saw the Matrix trilogy. Yeah. So there are a lot of things that are out there. You know, one of the things that I've really enjoyed is seeing the Hunger Games.
Yep.
And I'd never read the books.
He meant he went to the actual Hunger Games. He wore his outfit with all the big hair.
But seeing some of the things that are happening
culturally
in pop culture, it's mainstream. We're no longer on the outside. It's not just reading Ayn Rand.
I saw Atlas Shrugged.
Hiding in your dorm room reading Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
You know, we're actually seeing real cultural immersion of libertarian ideas, or at least anti-authoritarian.
It's an odd collectively cultural mindset shift.
Oh, but sure. It's also odd to look down and see CNN and the Indy Star and all these news outlets that you follow send out a push notification with the word libertarian.
Oh, yeah. Never in a million years would I have thought that was going to happen.
It really is a great feeling for something that you believed in and fought for and have been screaming in the wilderness and it just it's finally starting to come to fruition, and that work when you believe in something so much and you're giving 80, 90 hours a week to it and your wife is pissed off at you. Sorry, I'm starting to project. And people go, you're just crazy, you're nuts, whatever.
Did you see Harry Brown's 1996 and 2000 infomercials when he was running for president?
No.
Would you have ever believed that late night TV infomercials about libertarianism would have been in prime time on
CNN? Would you
ever believe
that the Republican Party would have a guy who had infomercials in the mid-90s as their nominee?
Yeah, no kidding.
Interesting times indeed.
So where do you see libertarianism going?
Oh, it's all upside from here. It's a unstoppable movement because it is a cultural mindset shift that's going on. It is a live and let live generation. Ours is, and ours is more cynical and skeptical than I think idealistic. Yeah. I think the baby boomers failed in creating the cultural changes they wanted to because they were easily very idealistic and then fell into a culture of fear in the 1990s. They were. And we're so skeptical and desensitized, and we have access to immediate information, you know, instantaneously, as much as we want. It's abundant. And we don't trust, we're a little less trusting. We are very untrusting of leadership. And I see everything growing and rising from here. I think the political landscape is really going to shift. I think I don't necessarily believe like the Libertarian Party is going to be the vessel that takes it forward. But I think it will be a merger and a rebirth of some sort of new party between the economic conservatives, like the Mitch Daniels Republicans, and the Libertarian Party. And that means there's going to be some painful ass growing pains because, my God, this one was painful. You start throwing in people like you start throwing in a bunch of Bill Welds in with a bunch of Star Childs, and you're going to see fist fights. NAP be damned. You're going to see some real fistfights. But that day's coming, and that's a good thing, because that means the movement's growing, and we'll get over it. We'll hash it out. We'll hate each other. We'll threaten to go start new little, parties, but then we'll coalesce and get in line and be like, all right, well, just don't sit him next to me at the next LNC meeting. But I look forward to it because I think it's all upside from here, and I think Gary's the perfect representative. I know we had a conversation earlier about how mentally taxing this has been.
Yeah.
Just drain. And like I shockingly haven't experienced it, and to hear what you two have been going through for three months.
This is the third cycle. Yeah.
Here I was.
This is my third presidential cycle.
I thought the criticisms of Gary Johnson or that he wasn't statist enough in taking his having a cabinet ready and a team of economic advisors from good schools.
Right.
Come to find out, that isn't the case at all. It's that the cake thing, boy, people are
still
pissed.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
The cake.
No, unfortunately, I get the vibe that like post election, Gary Johnson sadly will be it will not be popular. He'll be a great man. It is. He's a great guy. He's done a lot for libertarianism. He is a libertarian, and he has done a lot in these last two cycles to help get us to this point. And libertarians are just ungrateful jerks sometimes, and I hate that, but the solution, what is it?
The solution to pollution is dilution. That's something my friend Nick Sarwark reminds me of almost daily.
And so
if, he might get a helicopter ride.
So if you see people that are that don't agree with you, or they're saying, you know, because the one thing that really drives me crazy, and Brett and I have talked about this, the barriers to becoming a libertarian. People put up weird things that they wouldn't put up. You know, like I had a discussion recently, and they were like, well, I'd be a libertarian if you and Melissa Donahue hadn't fought online. And I go, okay. So you look at a person who hasn't held a position in the Libertarian Party of Indiana for 4 years, and a person who can't win a delegate spot in the Libertarian Party and has never held an official position. And that is your standard for the entire Libertarian Party and movement is out of control and just as dysfunctional as the other two parties. That's two individuals. I don't see two individual Republicans fighting on Facebook and say the entire Republican Party is out of control. Now I see their presidential candidate, and I think that. I was going to say,
the times have changed because he gets into flame wars on Twitter, and Hillary Clinton responds with, delete your account.
You guys had a naked guy dancing on stage. Yeah, well, we kicked him out of the party. We didn't nominate him for president. So, you know.
Careful.
Well.
There's going to be a wall.
He gets a helicopter ride.
But he has his own.
You know, somebody sees a guy on stage, and he is then escorted out of the building for his insane behavior, and that becomes a barrier for people to join the libertarian movement.
It became the excuse that they were looking for.
It's the out.
It's the convenient excuse that people find in their mind to not be bold, to not have courage.
It's the same as, I would love Ron Paul, except for his foreign policy.
Right.
Well, now you nominated the guy that's got the same foreign policy as the Ronimal. So, you know,
I don't know about that.
He does.
I don't know about that.
I swear to God. The neocons are screaming and endorsing Hillary.
The problem.
Bill Kristol's endorsing Hillary Clinton.
I know, but the problem is Ron Paul has a track record of being consistent.
Yeah. I'm saying we don't have anything to base it off of.
Right.
Yeah, so he's not as trustworthy. It's just that as announced of yet.
Air coming out of his mouth is as valuable to me as coming out of his house. So, ass. So anyways,
well, that was tawdry.
I'm very naughty. All right, kids, we got to wrap up because if you can't tell by my questions, the last few, I'm running out of steam.
Give me your general observations about libertarians. They have excellent hygiene.
I know. Of all
lots of Fedora.
All the weeks for my hero, who's the guy that died? The McLaughlin, John McLaughlin, Brett Bittner. I love John McLaughlin. My lifelong dream of being on the McLaughlin.
Never be on there.
Jack Drom. Now who's going to take Pat Buchanan seriously?
I don't know. Maybe he'll predict more weather from scripture.
No, that's Pat Robertson. Pat Buchanan's the guy who ran for president in 96.
Pre-Trump.
He was the first Trump. Okay, so we got to wrap up. So the future of libertarianism is bright, and if you are new to libertarianism, we are glad you were here. You were in the right place. And don't put on those freedoming glasses, I swear to God, Bittner. I don't know why we had him on.
We had him on?
We didn't have him on. He forced himself on us.
Yeah. It was podcast rape.
This is a violation of the Pod M&AP. Podnap. All right, kids, thank you for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. If you want to know more about libertarianism, you can go to We Are Libertarians and you can find a bunch of links. You can also go to libertarianism.com and you can press buttons and you can and you can go to your podcast app.
Ringing endorsement.
Type out libertarians.
They shouldn't have deleted the path to libertarianism.
Nope.
Listen, I worked hard on that. You hurt me.
Brett Bittner. I spent so many hours trying to educate people, and you don't care.
No, I just took your idea and made it better. Like everything in my life, I take an idea that Spangle has, I improve upon it, and he complains about the fact that it's successful.
Well, it's new, so we don't know if it's successful. And mine was never really given a chance. And it really does. I mean, let's be honest. It's a pale comparison, right? And by making...
We have a path of liberty. Is this a podcast?
What's and going on?
Where am I?
The idea that he took my idea and made it better. Do you know what he did? He made videos of himself. That's and, not making it better.
And
for
Chloe.
Anyone. Well, Chloe's a dish, as the kids say. As they say on Black Instagram, that girl is a dish. She is hot to trot. Oh, wait, did I just call Chloe a slut? I mean.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, I'm just kidding.
God,
we love you. We love you, No Show and Nagnos. Thank you for joining us. And as always, we promise
to do better next time. Never Bittner.
And no more Bittner. We swear by it. This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.